Welcome to the podcast. My name is Jamie Knight, and I'm a realtor with Real Broker here in Cajun Country, Lafayette, Louisiana. The goal of this podcast is to provide massive value by bringing insider access to our area's top agents and find out how they've been able to achieve massive success in their business. My hope is that you take away a few things from their experiences to grow your own business. My guest today is a friend and fellow real agent, Teresa Rainey. Teresa works with investors, owns and operates Airbnbs, and does several flips a year. She is known as the Rebel Real Estate Agent because of the way she runs her business in an out-of-the-box way. Welcome to the podcast, Teresa.
Thank you so much for having me. This is going to be great.
Awesome. I'm so excited to have you on the podcast, and we're going to get into some great stuff. So let's start with how you got into the real estate business, and give us a little of the backstory on where you are.
So I started real estate I got my license in 2009. It's actually kind of a funny story because originally I was going to be working with a lady who wanted to do transactions to and from Thailand. She actually got a few of us together. We all went to get our licenses together, and I was just thrilled about the idea of being able to travel and make money. So I was in. I didn't even really know any of the details, didn't care, just was like, do I get to go to Thailand? Sweet, I'm going.
Right.
And so we all went to class together. We all got our licenses together, except her. She could not pass the test because, unfortunately, the language barrier was so drastic that she just couldn't get past it. So then we all had a license. We all had a real estate license, except her. And we didn't really know what to do with it. But that was right around the crash in 2008, 2009. So my husband lost his job at the time. And so all of a sudden, I was like, well, hey, I've got this real estate license. I guess I'm going to be a realtor. So 15 years later, here I am.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Interesting. But so you went through, and in 2016, we had a crazy event happen in Acadiana. It was a huge flood that happened in Acadiana. So tell us about that situation and what happened to you there.
Yeah. So when I originally started real estate, like really kind of back in 2009, I told myself that I was going to give myself 10 years because I had read Maxim Gladwell's book, The Tipping Point. And I knew that after 10 years, if I wasn't successful at what I was doing, then I better quit because it wasn't my thing. But definitely after 10 years is when I really started to see that turnaround. So in 2016, my house flooded. We did have a major event here in Lafayette, Louisiana, or in the whole parish, Acadiana area. And there were many, many houses that flooded. It was a really difficult time for a lot of people. My house flooded, and we didn't have flood insurance at the time. And so it basically turned our entire lives upside down. The problem was I'm a 1099 employee, so I don't really show income. So I can't really get a loan, but I also make too much money to qualify for any of these like government assistant programs and stuff like that. So I was stuck. Like I was stuck with this house and no floors, half a wall, five kids. And my husband and I very much disagreed on the repairs. The churches wanted to come in and help. I'm like, hey, yes, absolutely. Come help me. I've helped people my entire life. Like, it's my turn to get help. And he was too prideful to take that assistance. And so we actually ended up parting ways in the middle of this chaos. And so there I am, five kids, no floors.
Right.
Just chaos and just trying to figure it out on my own, not having a clue how I'm going to do it. But I came to a point, like a crossroads, where it was like, am I going to be the mom that gives up and just decides to like be on welfare and that's my kid's life? Or am I going to get my shit together, put my big girl pants on and go figure this shit out?
Gotcha.
And it was tough. It was really tough because I had to completely change my mindset. Before that in real estate, I feel like it was just like whatever clients came my way, that's what I did. And, you know, if I didn't make enough money that month or what, it wasn't a big deal to me. I had, you know, other income from my spouse or help from family or whatever. And I wasn't serious about it. not like I am today. And I feel like a lot of real estate agents are in the same boat and they just wait for people to come to them. And I feel like that's what I was doing. I did go out and try to network so that I would meet people, but I wasn't hustling the way that I had to learn how to hustle when that happened. Because all of a sudden, I've got five kids, I'm on my own, one income, and I've got to fix this house because I can't even get a loan. So I put on my big girl pants and came to the office, and I would shut the door, and any leads that people would give me, whether it was for sale by owner leads, it was expired leads, whoever, I would just sit there and call. No matter how humiliating it was, no matter how crappy people were to me, I just did it. And I knew that at first it would suck. I knew that the first few phone calls I would sound terrible, but I didn't care because I knew that these people weren't going to see me again. Well, maybe it's Lafayette. We might, but right. They wouldn't know who I was anyway. So I didn't really care. I just knew that if I could get somebody on the phone that would let me talk to them, that would let me go to their house and try to list it, that I could get out of the hole that I was in. And that's what I did. Literally everybody, I was actually pretty aggressive about it. Before that, I would go to lunch with the girls and we'd go for walks in the neighborhood sometimes, like whatever. And all of that had to stop. There was no playing around anymore because I was in such a bad spot that it was either welfare or that. So I wasn't very friendly for a while, unfortunately, but it was just what I had to do. I had to do it to pay my bills. And I just had to get in the office, close the door, be antisocial, and just get on the phone and call people until I completely turned it around. And then once I kind of figured it out, like once I figured out my cadence and like my routine, things just started happening left and right. I mean, the deals just started coming. I was doing way more deals than I'd ever done in my life. And so, of course, that opens up a whole bunch of new doors whenever you start making money that you've never made before. So it absolutely turned the entire situation around and just changed the course of my life and my career completely.
Nice, nice. That's awesome. I love that because, you know, sometimes rock bottom, there's only one place to go and that's up.
Unfortunately, yes.
So, you know, it's a crazy that you had to hit that. But sometimes having a life that you've never dreamed of starts at rock bottom for a lot of people. And 2024 is a tough year. And there are some realtors that are saying, like, do I even want to continue in this business or not this year? But I tell you, for those people who are willing to work and put in the effort, 2025 or 2024 can be an amazing start of something amazing. And it could be your year to grow at crazy levels. So one thing that I noticed in your growth was that health-wise, you started to make some changes with working out and doing some physical stuff. So tell us a little bit about that as well.
Yeah, that was also, I think, one of the things that helped me to, I guess, catapult my life forward and my career. Because I realized that in order to be like the best salesperson I could be, I needed to get my health together. I've also had some pretty scary health things happen over the years. And I knew that if I was going to be the one that was around for my kids, that I would have to fix that too. Like that was really important. I have had Lyme disease. I have had heart failure. I'm very sensitive to medication. So both times I was in a really bad spot. When I had Lyme, I got to the point where I couldn't even walk because of the medication that I was on. I could walk to the bathroom and back, and that was it. And I knew that if I wanted to be there for my kids, that I was going to have to do a 180 with my health. It was bad. And so I had to change everything. I had to change the way that I was eating. I had to get all of the chemicals out of my house and change everything to natural. So everything went from like the normal American diet, for the most part, to everything is gluten-free, is dairy-free. Like everything was clean. Everything in our house was clean. I had to completely, completely turn that around. And I did lose a significant amount of weight. And part of that was because of the medical issues that I was having. I knew that if I lost the weight, that a lot of those things would just disappear, especially like the heart failure. And in fact, after, the doctors have never been able to find it again. They've never, like, I was told after the fact that heart failure is not curable, which apparently it is. So, but I went the natural route because the medications were really harsh on my body. And so I decided to work with a holistic practitioner for both of those and completely turned my health around. And in doing that, I have never had issues again. I've never had those symptoms again. But I do think that it was a drastic part of the transformation that I had in my life and my career, because not only did it help my health, but it also helped me physically to be able to perform higher. Whenever you are overweight and fat and lazy, you're not doing near as much as I'm doing now. Like, you really have to keep in shape. You have to work out every day. You have to have the energy to be able to produce at the level that I do. And that's why so many people that produce at a high level that you see across in any field, not just real estate, but they're working out every day. And the reason for that is, in order to produce at that high level, you have to be able to have the energy to do that. So you have to work out. You have to have the energy. You have to, you can't do it without it. You have to have a great diet. I remember what it was like when I was overweight. Whenever I came home at 5 o'clock in the afternoon or after I picked up the kids, I didn't want to do anything. I wanted to sit in the bed. So that was a pretty drastic shift as well. And a pretty important drastic shift in order to get to the level where I am now. And I think that is a huge piece of the puzzle for a lot of people that they don't realize is so valuable and important.
Yeah. And you hear that a lot. We talk about the magic pill on the podcast. A lot of times we talk about, you know, is there one thing that you can do for your business to turn it around? And it sounds like this was kind of a couple year process for you of getting in good shape to try to get yourself physically right, putting in that work at the office, making the calls that you had to do, just putting yourself in an uncomfortable situation to be able to succeed at a high level. And I think that that is so important. And almost in every podcast, I'm hearing that about people's health and getting right and all those different things. And that is the tipping point that helps people get to the next level, is a total 180 life change. And that's how they start seeing the fruits of that extra labor that they're putting in on the workouts and everything else. So appreciate you sharing that story, because I know, and I've seen it because you and I are friends, and I've been seeing your growth through the last few years, and it's been awesome to kind of see that. So,
thank you.
So yeah, let's talk a little bit about the extra things that you do, because not only do you sell real estate, but you also manage Airbnbs, you do several flips. So talk to us a little bit about those kind of things that you're doing, the extras.
So a few years ago, actually, this is how I even found out about Real. I joined a group that was in Utah. So I was looking for something extra. I knew that I didn't want to sell houses forever. In fact, all of this really came to fruition probably around 2021. And what it was absolute burnout. I was burnt out like nobody's business. My phone was ringing off the hook. Like, I know we complain about it now that it's not ringing off the hook, but at the time, I was so overwhelmed by the volume. I guess I just never had experienced that volume. I think I sold 72 houses that year alone. And so I was losing my mind. I was stressed. I was not seeing my kids very often. Like, I was working all the time, working the weekends, and I was burnt. And I ended up joining this mastermind in Utah because the guy, well, he actually looked like, to me, he looked like some surfer dude that was, you know, just making $150,000 a month. And I wanted to know how he was doing this, you know, and he was a real estate agent too. But I joined his mastermind because I wanted the piece that he seemed to have, because he sure seemed to have it all figured out, right? In joining that group, I guess I started being exposed to so many other types of income aside from just sales. And I would see other guys or girls that were doing it. They would be like 23 years old and they would be managing 150 Airbnbs. And I'm like, okay, if these guys can do this, then I can do some of this. And so I think that's where it kind of all started, was just being so burnt out in sales and trying to figure that out, trying to find peace, trying to find balance, and then being exposed to all these other income possibilities inside of real estate that didn't necessarily require me to be physically present or me physically sell something. And that was what I was looking for. For me, my whole goal, and it still is today, is to be time and location independent. So any business that I'm getting involved in, I want it to run on its own without me if I want to run away and go to Denver for the weekend like I just did.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So that's kind of where it all came from. And that's where it started. It's been an amazing extra source of income. And it is fairly passive. Once you set it all up, once all of the automation is in place, it really is fairly self-sufficient for gotcha. The most part.
Yeah, yeah, nice. I actually have an Airbnb as well that we set up recently in Youngsville, a little town kind of close to us. And it's been fun to kind of see that start to kind of, people start to see it and going stay there and getting good reviews and being able to kind of meet new people. And it's been awesome. But I would say too, like you, is once you get the cleaning crews set up and once you get kind of some good people that are like, hey, we need more of this, we need more of that. And it's just super, it's kind of easy to manage once you kind of get it up and running the right way. And I can see how this is a perfect career extra that a realtor can do in partnership with what they're already doing in real estate.
Absolutely.
It doesn't steal a lot of your time.
No, it doesn't.
Like.
And I feel like most agents have the background in, you know, they understand property management or, you know, those types of things to some extent anyway. A lot of us have that design eye. A lot of us got into real estate because we loved real estate. We loved the design part. We loved decorating. So I feel like a lot of agents have the
tools already in the toolbox.
Yeah, you kind of do. And management, even that alone. So I do have my own Airbnbs, but I also now manage for other people that have kind of hunted me down that wanted some help. So some of them are like attorneys that are too busy, but they have these houses and they want to run Airbnbs. They just don't have the time. So I'm managing those for them. And really and truly, like once you have all the automation set up, it's ready to go. So it's not, I mean, aside from some of the guest communication that we have to do, it is very self-sufficient. And so I do think that it's another option for agents, whether they want to set something up themselves. They could buy a property and run it as an Airbnb. They could rent a property and, you know, furnish it and run it as an Airbnb. A lot of people do that, rental arbitrage, and there's still profit to be made in that. And then to me, the highest profit, honestly, is the management, because it's not your money that's going into the furnishings. It's not your money that's going into any of the repairs. You're just managing the property for them and you're taking a percentage. So it's actually a really good side hustle for real estate agents that want something else.
Nice. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I'm sure realtors are listening to this and saying like, man, that's awesome that you're doing all that. And I hope that they reach out to you, because agents, if they're interested in doing Airbnbs and stuff like that, I'm sure you'd be open to a conversation about how you've set some of that stuff up.
I could talk about it all day long. It's so fun. I love it. I'd love to teach it. I'd love to help people, you know, yeah, figure it out. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, I'll definitely put your contact information in the podcast so that people can reach out to you. But tell us a little bit about the flips and stuff too, because you're doing a couple of those as well. You're doing some flips.
Yeah. So that's another fun thing that I really, really enjoy doing. And I would say that I have it set up as to run on its own as much as it possibly can, aside from me designing it and making decisions about colors and lighting and ordering those things. I have a crew that does the majority of the renovations for us. And, you know, we have subs for different things, for electrical, roofs, la, 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 la. So I'm not physically doing any of the work. I'm mostly getting to do the fun part, which is designing it and picking all the fun things. That actually started, I believe, during COVID. I was sending mailers out to neighborhoods because I had clients that were looking for houses in specific neighborhoods that they liked. And of course, back then, houses would hit the market so fast, go so fast that we would miss out. So right. I would send out mailers to the whole entire neighborhood saying, hey, I have a buyer. This is what they're looking for. This is how many bedrooms they need. This is a price point that they want to be in. Do you have anything like that? Or do you know anybody who does? So I would start to get calls back. And some of the people that would call me back would be people that lived out of state, because maybe they kept it from when they were younger and they have a tenant in it. And so they'd say, hey, I have a place. The tenant's about to move out. Maybe this is a good option. And so I'd go check out the house, see if it was something that would work out for my buyer. But then when it didn't work out for my buyer, if there's some, then they would obviously want me to list it. Well, there was one couple, and I went in and I looked at it, and it looked like, I mean, they did not do one single upgrade since 1974. And I said, hey, why don't you let me get you some help? Let me get somebody to paint it, put some fresh flooring in. Let's just change the light fixture in the dining area, which was pretty like a prominent area of this particular place. Let's see if we can't get you more than I can get you the way that it looks now. So that's what we did. I helped connect them with a contractor. They painted the house, redid the floors, painted the cabinets, and we changed the lighting in the kitchen and the dining area. And we ended up selling that house for more than any house had sold in that particular neighborhood.
Nice.
Yeah. So then once we did that, and of course, I didn't charge anything for this at the time. I was just trying to help a client, right?
Gotcha.
Well, their buddies heard about it, some of their friends, and so they wanted me to go do the same thing. So I did that. So I got a contractor to come help. We redid this house, painted interior and exterior, redid the floors, redid lighting, sold that one for a ridiculous amount of money. So then I was like, okay, I think we're on to something here.
Right. Maybe I should start doing this for myself.
Yeah. So we started buying houses and trying to, you know, we started very small in the beginning because, you know, I didn't want to take too much risk on my own. But I also had some investors that were very interested in loaning me the money because they knew that I was really good at what I did. And so they were like, hey, I will give you the cash to go buy your house and flip it. And I'm like, well, okay. Well, in that case, let's get this done. And so started buying houses and eventually we got a crew that we loved, that we work really well with, that's very meticulous, shows up on time, knows what I like, is able to make decisions when I'm not there because they know exactly how I like things done. And they've been with us ever since. So we've been working with this crew now for probably close to 4 years, and we just do houses back to back to back to back. But you'd be surprised how many people out there, like attorneys, that have money that would rather give the money and put it into a flip than to put it in the S&P and make 10% or 8% or whatever.
Right.
They would love to loan you this money and split the profit. So it's actually not that hard to get private money to do a lot of these deals. And that's how we started, was just getting private money from people that we knew, from clients of ours that wanted to invest in real estate, that wanted to invest in flipping, but didn't have the time to do it themselves.
Nice.
Yeah. And so now we have multiple people that are willing to loan us the funds just like that, or we can go get the funds from the bank if we want to.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different options there too.
Nice. Nice. I love that. So I love that there's so many options in real estate for agents to just do things that can earn them a little bit of extra income for sure. But one thing that I think, and I've heard about your story that I like the most, is your just ability to just get on the phones and generate business. Because one thing I always caution agents about that I'm helping and training and all these other things is trying to dive into too many things to avoid those things that we know we need to be doing. And that's making phone calls. And
yes.
I want to go back to that because that's at its core is how you essentially got yourself out of the rut that you were in, was making the phone calls. So I want to get back to talking about, you know, your routine. And I hear you, you're on the phones, you're making calls, you're on Zoom calls, you're in meetings. That's what drives the vehicle. And all these other things are great, and that's extra. But let's talk about what drives the vehicle. Let's talk about phone calls, how you run your business.
Yes, I definitely agree. I do think that a lot of these things that I'm doing on the side are things that you shouldn't do until maybe you've saved money from doing all the sales. But I hear it all the time. In fact, it's kind of a funny little conversation that I have with a lot of agents on our Zoom calls, because there are so many of them that are just looking for that magic pill. They're like, what lead generation service can I pay for? They just want leads to just magically come. And unfortunately, that's not reality. You can pay for whatever lead service you want, but if you're not picking up the phone and calling, then nothing's going to happen. It really literally will not happen. So I don't actually use any lead generation services at all. All of my listings, all of my buyers come from word of mouth or from past clients or sphere of influence. A lot of them come from investors now. Because I'm in the investment world and I understand that part, there's a lot of people that come to me for that because they're like, okay, she gets it. You know, and I think that is really your sphere of influence and your past clients is absolutely where you need to be spending all your time. You need to be building those relationships. You have to be making the phone calls. And in the beginning, you may not know that many people. So you may have to get on the phone and just call expireds, call whatever, for sale by owners, call anybody. And it is tough in the beginning, because in the beginning you feel so unconfident whenever you're making these calls. But what I knew was that once I made like the second or third phone call, that I was going to get better at speaking to these people every day. Now, every day it was like a start over, because every day I'd get nervous and I'd have to get back on the phone and I'd have to do it again. But I knew every day that the first two phone calls were going to suck. And so I just knew that and I just rolled with it. Now, though, I feel like I just have confidence in what I'm going to say. And even if I say something goofy and I mess up, it, like, who cares? Nobody cares. They actually kind of like it when they can see some humanity in you versus like feeling like you're a used car salesman or something like that.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you have to get on the phone. So you have to be making 10 phone calls a day. So what my day looks like, I get up in the morning. I usually have a list already, but if not, then I will sit there and I will finalize my list for the day, finalize my schedule for the day. And then around 8:30, I do like to be on my computer, just checking email, going through, catching up on anything. But then by 9 o'clock, that's whenever I'm starting. I am doing marketing. I am doing lead generation, whatever that looks like for that day. Sometimes it might be posting things on Facebook. It might be running some ads. It might be sharing some information about, you know, houses that we sold or stuff that we're doing in real estate. Anything in terms of marketing. I'll spend an hour on marketing to buyers, sellers, investors, other agents, stuff like that. 10 a.m. is when I start doing follow-up. And that's when I start calling anybody back that has shown any interest in real estate at all, in buying, selling, whatever. And what I mean by that is like any person that has ever expressed any interest, it doesn't matter if it was a Facebook message, it doesn't matter if somebody had popped up on one of my listings and made a comment, doesn't matter. It, like, every single person that expresses any interest in buying, selling, renting, investing, I am calling those people, at least 10 people every day. So I have a list of 10 people that I write down every single day and I'm following up with them. And a lot of people are like, well, what do I say? You know, because the worst thing you can say is, hey, I'm calling to follow up. I'm like, don't say that. You call and you give them something of value. Like, hey, I know that you're looking for an Airbnb. I just saw this house pop up. It is so cute. It just so happens to be an RM1. So it will work for what you're looking for. Check it out. Even if it's not even close, like, at least you sent them something. At least you had a communication with them. But you want to send them something of value, something that's helpful to them. And it's just building that relationship with these people every day. And I do not let one single lead that comes my direction fall through the cracks. Even if that means that I have to hand it off to another agent because I don't have time, I am not going to let that lead go. I'm going to follow that lead till the end until they tell me absolutely no or they buy a house. That's just how I try to do it.
That's awesome, because I think about, I've been in the business for a long time like you. I've been in the business 20 years. I always said if I started the email campaigns that I'm doing now and some of the platforms that I have now to manage just even a person I have a conversation with and be able to nurture them over the long term, like if I would have had that 20 years ago, I'd have 50,000 people in my email list. You know, if you think about how many people you've talked to through the years,
probably
if you talk to 5-10 people a day times 365 times 20 years, I mean, that's a lot of people that you'd have in your database. But yeah, I love that those systems that you can put in place, and I'm assuming you're using like a CRM that you're using to kind of keep track of these people.
I do. In terms of CRM, I actually do use Lofty. And the reason why I use Lofty is because if I have a listing, then I can advertise that listing and I have leads that come in. Now, those leads I don't necessarily expect to get anything from right away. Those are long-term nurture leads a lot of times because they might have come in through Facebook. They had to fill out a form because in order to see more pictures, you have to fill out the form. But the system will nurture those. And so after a while, sometimes it's 6 months, they'll be like, hey, I'm ready to go see a house. And so I do get some leads from that. But in terms of managing all of the leads that I have or all of the follow-up and my listings and everything, everything is inside of Trello. I make sure that I put everything inside of Trello. And I've used it for years. And it just kind of works for me because you can have boards and each board – So like, say I have a marketing board. So those are all the, you know, I put everything, all the tasks that I need to do for marketing. And then for that day, I just kind of move up what's the most important. For follow-up, I have all the leads that, you know, I've had a conversation with, or I've had a Facebook message from, or whatever, like they are there. And like, sometimes I don't even really know who these people are. It might say like, oh, the girl at the desk at the dentist. It just means that I need to go back and talk to that person at some point. Like, I don't care. Everybody's in there. And then all of my listings are in there too, so that I can kind of keep track of them and put notes inside of them as I'm doing stuff on them. Or if there's things I need to remember about the listings, then all of my pendings and so on and so forth. But yeah, so after I do my follow-up, that's whenever I start working on it. So like at 11, I'll work on my listings, anything that needs to be done on them. I go through all of my listings and see if prices need to be reduced, if things need to be changed, yada, yada. And then at noon, I start working on my pendings, go through all my pending files, just moving it forward to the next step. And then the rest of the afternoon, I try to preserve for appointments or Airbnbs or renovations or whatever fun projects I have going on.
Gotcha.
They're usually appointments. And if not, if I'm really like, I don't have anything going on, which that doesn't happen anymore at this stage in the game. But if I didn't, then I would go back to marketing. I'd go back to making the phone calls until I had an appointment. That's yeah. how I ran my day when I had nothing. But now, fortunately, over the years, because I've done that every day, because I've made the phone calls every day, because I've created so much, you know, activity, now I get the messages direct to me. But that takes time, and that takes hustle, and that takes making the phone calls every day. There is no magic pill, people. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I wish we could. I wish we could find that, because I'd be glad to share that on the podcast. But since we don't have that magic pill, we can't share it. But I'm sure we could talk for 2 hours about just everything that you got going on. But I mean, even in this short amount of time that we've chatted, you've totally shared several great ideas, but hopefully, you know, you've encouraged some agents to get out there and hustle. And when agents act like they don't have anything going on, I mean, there's plenty of things going on. If you don't have any listings, talk to someone in your office that has listings. Hey, would you mind, I marketed your listings, or I made calls around your listings, or if you had a buyer, would you mind if I called the neighborhood and tried to find a house for that buyer? Most agents will just get in the zone of, I don't have anything going on, so I'm not going to do anything. And that's basically a recipe for getting out of the business.
So some of the things that I did in the beginning when I was desperate and needed work, there was an older gentleman that had a CRM that probably had 40,000 people in it or whatever because of years of... And he was like, just go in my CRM and call anybody you want. So I did that. And then there was another agent that had a subscription to expired listings and for sale by owners. And so I guess that platform would, it would populate their phone numbers, like all the different possibilities of the phone numbers that it could be. And so he was like, I don't use it. Go in and use it. And so I would call all of those people, literally anybody that would give me leads to call, I would just call. I would call and call and call until I did something, until something happened.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, so I think the learning lesson we have from this thing is you got to get on the phones. There's no easy magic pill about it. You have to get on the phones. You have to do marketing. You have to make phone calls to start if you're struggling right now. But I love all the extras that you're doing as just a part of the everything that you're doing. But I love seeing that you're in the office, you're making the calls and watching you make those calls, because that's the most important part of your day and that's your morning routine. So we're going to go ahead and just wrap it up there. I know we're kind of falling off a cliff because you have such great information, but maybe just give us one last little couple of words of encouragement for agents who are struggling right now and we'll close it out.
Okay. I don't want anybody to give up. I feel like we, as a whole, as like real estate agents across the nation, because of COVID, I really do feel like we were spoiled for a year where everything just came so easy. And I think that we all, including me, had to kind of come back from that because it came so easy for such a long time. And then having to shift gears into suddenly having to go back to hustling and making the phone calls on our own instead of the phone ringing for us has made all of us feel like things are worse than they are. But if you go and look at the actual statistics and the numbers, we are doing better than we ever have. So we're actually doing just as well as we were doing in 2021. We're just spoiled.
Yeah.
We literally are. So I don't think that people should give up. I think that they just need to realize that it's not as easy as it was, but there's still plenty of business to be had and to get on the damn phones and just make the freaking phone calls because stuff will happen when you do. And just like stick together with your friend, your other agents that are making the phone calls, that are wanting to do things, stick together, talk to each other, come up with ideas, brainstorm, get on Zooms together, just do stuff and stuff will just start happening.
I love that. So we're going to leave that there. I 100% agree with you. I think that's great ideas and I am going to kind of wrap it up there. So I really appreciate you joining me on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. This was awesome.
Yeah, for sure. And I hope that any agents, if they're struggling right now, feel free to reach out to me or Teresa. I'm sure we'd love to give you any encouragement right now and give you a little boost of energy that you might need to get through your day and start making those calls. So I appreciate you guys listening to the podcast. Make sure you give us a positive review, give us a like, give us a share with your friend or a friend who may be struggling. And I hope that you guys have an amazing day.